Any other countries have this system?
Let me think very carefully. No. Nary a one. No.
Wow.
Yeah. And no one in Australia understands it.
Yeah.
And that's how they've got away with it.
One for mum, one for dad, one for the country.
And there has never been a more exciting time to be in Australia.
Dead, buried, cremated.
Australia's basically done for. We'll just end up being a third-rate economy. You know, a banana republic.
Just follow.
G'day, and welcome to Follow the Money, the Australia Institute's podcast demystifying the big economic issues in Australia and putting them in plain English. I'm Ebony Bennett, Deputy Director at the Australia Institute. And we're going to discuss what the hell is dividend imputation.
Oh, but everyone knows that.
Don't make me feel stupid, you economists, you. And in this episode of Follow the Money, our first for 2019, the Australia Institute's Chief Economist Richard Dennis and Senior Economist Matt Grudnoff join me to explain that burning question I'm sure you've all been asking yourselves. What the hell is dividend imputation? And why should we get rid of cash refunds for unused franking credits? If you're anything like me, you probably haven't even heard of dividend imputation, let alone understand how refunds for unused franking credits work. It wasn't really until I even came to work at the Australia Institute that I'd even heard any of these terms. So if you don't understand the current debate, don't worry, you're not alone and you're not stupid. This is designed to be impenetrable. And it's tricky for even our economists to explain in plain English.
Was that the income that they earned from those shares, they'd already paid tax. The company had already paid tax on that income.
Do it one at a time. Say Podcast Limited posted you $1,000. No, it gets tricky.
Go $1,000 just because then you're working.
I'm going to have to gross up. It's not going to work well.
Isn't it?
No. Make any sense?
Yes.
Why are we even talking about this? Well, because Labor has a policy to abolish cash refunds for unused franking credits. And there is an inquiry, a parliamentary inquiry, headed up by Liberal MP Tim Wilson, that has been holding some pretty incendiary public hearings into the policy.
He is leading the charge, whipping baby boomers into a franking frenzy.
Now, Tim, can you explain to us why you think it's fair that we as taxpayers give people a refund on tax that they never paid in the first place?
Huge consequences for Australian retirees, and that's why it's important to stand up and fight against bad policy and bad law.
The people are going to get significantly impacted by this policy. Mm. Like, we've got 80,000 shareholders, 60,000 of them are self-managed super.
This policy is a scam!
The current system is unfair, unaffordable and unsustainable. We can't afford to spend as much on franking credits as we do on public schools from the Commonwealth Government any longer.
So, let's start with some facts. What are franking credits?
Good question, Ebony, but it's not big enough. What is a company?
Okay, we're starting there.
So a company is a legal fiction. It's something that most countries have legislated to say, what if people, humans, could organise themselves in such a way that they could call themselves, a group of people, a company? And then that company could go off and run businesses and do all sorts of things. So, you know, Richard and Matt and Ebony could set up Podcast Limited.
Yep.
And we could own one share in it each. And Podcast Limited could go off and give away podcasts and not make any money. Or it could sell them and make a fortune. And when Podcast Limited makes a profit, Podcast Limited could pay tax on that in Australia, the company tax rate. But who would really be paying that tax? Well, the company gets the tax bill, and that means the company's got less money to post the dividends back to us three, who are the owners. So when we say companies pay tax, what we really mean is shareholders in companies pay tax. And in Australia, we have a complicated regime where whenever the company pays tax on behalf of shareholders, we call it the company tax, any tax paid by that company is actually credited against any tax that Ebony might have to pay or Richard might have to pay when I put in my personal tax return. So companies are real and companies pay some tax, but we really need to talk about the shareholders in companies, the humans that sit behind them, because ultimately it's the humans that that get all of the profits paid to them as dividends.
Yeah, so basically profits are dividends, and so they turn into income for its shareholders. And when those shareholders rock up at the end of the year and they fill out their tax return, if they've earned money from shares, that becomes a line item basically in their tax return. And they then pay tax on that.
So I'm Ebony and it's tax time and I'm filling out my tax return. I get income from working at the Australia Institute, and in addition to that, I own shares in Podcast Limited, which made a profit, it paid company tax on that profit, and now I have additional income in the form of franked dividends. What happens now?
Well, now we have to talk about dividend imputation.
Dun, dun, dun!
My favourite topic. After many years and many explanations working at the Institute, I'm still don't feel 100% across
this. Dividend imputation is a thing that makes everybody's eyes glaze over, and I do apologise to all the people out there, but hang in there, this is actually important.
It's very important and it's very expensive. So first a little history lesson and geography lesson. Once upon a time, Australia didn't have dividend imputation, and almost no other country in the world has dividend imputation.
So, Richard, how far back are we talking before Australia had this?
All the way back in 1987.
Ooh.
So most countries in the world don't have dividend imputation. We didn't used to have it. But in 1987, the Hawke government came up with this idea that companies paying company tax and then posting dividends to Ebony, and Ebony paying personal income tax, we called that double taxation. And in 1987, the Hawke government said, we're going to get rid of double taxation.
Mm-hmm.
So once upon a time, companies just paid the company tax rate, end of story. They posted Ebony a dividend check.
From what was left over?
From what was left over. And Ebony's dividend check combined with Ebony's income working at the Australia Institute combined with any other income meant that your personal income was then subject to personal income tax. So those two things were treated entirely differently, and that's the way it is in nearly every country in the world. So once upon a time, the company paid the company tax and just posted the dividends to you and you paid income tax on them. Mm-hmm. What happens in Australia now is that any tax paid by the company on your behalf, that tax is kept track of through something called franking credits. Now, 99% of Australians don't know what a franking credit is.
How very dare you?
Well,
but
no,
what is one?
Well, it's something that rich people know a lot about. If most of your income or all of your income comes from going to work, no one's ever posted you a franking credit in your life.
I can... Yeah, that's correct.
I'm in the same situation. But when you own lots of shares or when you own any shares in a company, when they post you the dividend check, they also post you effectively your franking credits, which are a little get out of jail free card that says, you know, that income that we sent you, Ebony,
mm-hmm.
we've already paid tax on that. So you don't have to pay tax on that again.
In my tax return.
In your tax return.
So franking credits are a way to deal with the concern that dividends, that is the company profits paid to shareholders, are not taxed twice, once as company profit and then secondly as income to the shareholder. If you own shares, a franked credit is like a flag that signals to the tax office that company tax has already been paid on your dividends and shareholders receive a credit for the tax already paid by the company.
So any income you earn from a company has already paid 30% tax on it.
Yeah.
So if your tax rate, your marginal tax rate is 45%, then the company's already paid 30% of the tax. So you only have, rather than paying the full 45% on that income, you only have to make up the difference between the 30% the company made and the total 45% you have to make. So the difference between those is 15%.
Sounds like a good deal. What happens if my rate of tax is 30% and the company has paid 30% tax?
Well, then all the tax is paid on those dividends. So you'd get your dividends and no extra tax would be payable. Where it gets really interesting is if you didn't have to pay any tax at all.
Mm-hmm. That is, your tax rate was zero.
Hang on. Before we keep going, let's just repeat that so we're all clear. When a company makes a profit, it pays company tax on the amount of profit it has made. And some of that profit is divided up and paid to shareholders as dividends. These dividends are paid to shareholders as income, which would normally be taxed again via the income tax. Dividends are just another form of income, like salaries and wages, or the interest that you earn on your bank account. But then dividend imputation kicks in to lower the tax you pay on dividends. And the company issues you with a franking credit. A franking credit is a kind of a discount voucher from the government that acknowledges that this additional income you received has already been taxed. And at tax time, you can use the discount voucher to reduce your tax liability, like getting a 30% discount.
Where it gets really interesting is if you didn't have to pay any tax at all.
Mm-hmm. That is, your tax rate was zero.
Now, in Australia, there's what we call the lucky generation, otherwise known as old people, and all sorts of tax arrangements have been set up, particularly around the superannuation system, that effectively make it very easy for retirees to pay no income tax. So that creates a real problem, because we wanted to get away from double taxation, mm-hmm. that if the company had already paid some tax on the dividends, Ebony shouldn't have to pay any more. Well, we've now flipped that on its head. Because a lot of wealthy retirees in Australia have a zero tax rate, mm-hmm. literally zero, when they get their dividend checks that the company's already paid 30% tax on, while Ebony might have to pay a little bit extra tax to get it up to her marginal tax rate, mm. retirees on a zero tax rate say, but I've paid, that company paid 30% tax. Commonwealth Bank paid 30% before it posted me the dividend. ANZ Bank paid 30% before it posted me the dividend. BHP paid 30% before it posted me the dividend. And I'm old. I don't have to pay tax in Australia, mm-hmm. but that company's paid 30% tax on its profit. So can I get that back, please? So in Australia, we created this system where these franking credits, these tax credits to keep track of how much tax the company had paid on your behalf, can literally be refunded for cash. So if you're a millionaire retiree with a zero tax rate, when those dividend checks show up, you can take them to the tax office and say,
deduct.
Hey, Commonwealth Bank paid tax before it posted me this dividend check. And because I'm old and rich and don't pay tax in Australia, that's a rip-off. The Commonwealth Bank paid tax on my behalf. Mm. And I don't have to pay tax. So could you swap these franking credits and give me cash?
Geez, that sounds like a good deal.
It's a great deal. So these so-called self-funded retirees are getting checks from the tax office. Mm. I would suggest that's the opposite of self-funded.
Yeah.
Because you and I are contributing the revenue to the tax office that they're getting back as these refunds.
Australia is the only country in the world that gives cash refunds to people who pay no tax in this way. It's as if you were cashing in unused discount vouchers.
Wow.
Yeah. And no one in Australia understands it.
Yeah.
And that's how they've got away with it.
Well, Labor's proposing to get rid of the refundability of those franking credits. They're not proposing to tax wealthy retirees. That system will remain the same. But what they're proposing to do is if you get a refundable franking credit and you never paid any tax to begin with, the tax office isn't going to post you a check.
So Labor's basically saying dividend imputation will continue.
Yep.
There'll still not be double taxation in Australia. But if you're in the lucky situation of getting lots of dividend checks and facing a 0% tax rate, you cannot go and get a refund for the, all of that tax paid by the company.
So to recap history, Paul Keating introduced franking credits in the 80s to avoid what's so-called double taxation. But then Howard and Costello went even further, giving people a tax refund on these unused franking credits. And now we're having this debate because the Labor Party wants to get rid of that very end bit, the cash refunds for unused franking credits.
That was projected to cost about $500 million a year. It's now costing about $6 billion and very soon we'll get to $8 billion per year in the budget, which is more than the Commonwealth spends on public schools. Frankly, in hindsight, I think it's a decision that should never have been taken by Howard and Costello, but we have come to a very hard decision that this is just an unsustainable budget.
Self-funded retirees rely on income from their shares and their super, which is tax-free. And they're not very happy about losing an extra cash handout each financial year in the form of franking credits, which is not surprising.
Self-funded retirees seem to be thought of as the super rich.
Franking credits form part of my income, and without those franking credits, I will slip down below the pension threshold and have to claim a pension.
It's not for, like me. We'll find it very difficult to cope with.
But it does not make cash refunds for franking credits any fairer or any less expensive.
And I suppose what's important here is we keep referring to them as wealthy retirees. And the reason we're doing that is because if you or I didn't have a job but we did get an income from dividends, it's unlikely that we would ever not pay any tax at all.
Let me put it another way. We're talking a lot here about wealthy retirees, and that's because we're talking about a policy that really only has an impact on wealthy retirees.
Yeah.
If you have hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of shares, you are wealthy.
Mm.
That is what wealth is. Wealth is the accumulation of assets. And when you read in the paper that someone's going to be $30,000 a year worse off, $30,000 a year worse off if they can't get cash refunds, keep in mind the age pension is $20,000.
Yeah.
If you are rich enough to be $30,000 a year off because the millions of dollars worth of shares will no longer pump out these refundable credits, then you are wealthy.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that everyone affected feels wealthy.
Refunding these unused franking credits means that a big chunk of money is lost to the federal budget each year. In fact, Australia Institute research found that all franking credits that go to individuals are worth about $10 billion each year, of which the refunded franking credits are a significant part. About 75% of the benefit of all franking credits goes to the top 10% of taxpayers. To put that in simpler terms, if Australia were 10 people and we were distributing $100 in franking credits, one person would get $74.60 and the other 9 people would have to split the other $25.40. Because Australia is alone in the world in choosing to cash out excess franking credits, what it means is that ordinary taxpayers are paying out cash refunds to people who sometimes have over $1 million worth of shares. Is that who we want to be prioritising when half of women aged 60 to 64 retired with a super balance of $36,000 or less?
If you get a pension or a part pension, then the Labor Party is not going to take away your refundable franking credits. Now, there's only about 20% of the retired population that don't get a pension or a part pension, and they're the 20% wealthiest part of that. So the Prime Minister put up a video which basically had in it someone who was claiming that they would lose between $25,000 and $30,000 a year because of this change that Labor is proposing. And so if somebody was earning, let's do the lower bound, let's say $25,000 a year, if they were losing $25,000 a year, that means basically that they're earning in dividends about $58,000 a year. And then on top of that, they're getting another $25,000 a year in franking credits. So they're on about just under $85,000 a year tax-free. That's basically what their income is. Now, in order to generate...
That's higher than the minimum wage.
It is a bit higher than the minimum wage. In fact, I worked out that in order for me or you to earn $85,000 a year, to clear $85,000 a year after tax, we would have to earn about $117,000 a year to make that kind of money. Now, to generate that kind of dividends from shares, you have to own quite a few. We worked out that you would have to own about $1.5 million in shares in order to be $25,000 a year worse off because of this franking credits. So again, we're not talking about poor retirees.
Come on, that sounds like struggle street to me. Jeez.
These are people who own significantly large amounts of shares because the only way that you can get a large amount of franking credit refund is if you own a large amount of shares.
That's been episode 32 of Follow the Money, brought to you by the Australia Institute. You can go to our website at tii.org.au for more research on dividend imputation and franking credits. You can listen free to Follow the Money wherever you download your favourite podcasts, or you can listen online at our website. This is our first episode for 2019, and we're very excited about all the episodes to come as we head towards an early budget and a federal election. We're on Twitter at the Oz Institute with an AUS. My Twitter handle is Ebony_Bennett with a double N double T. Matt Grudnoff is Matt Grudnoff with a double T in Matt and a double F in Grudnoff. And Richard Dennis is on Twitter at RDNS_TAI. This episode was produced by Jennifer Macy with additional editing by Lizzie Jack and Renee Sant. Our theme music is by Jonathan McFeet from Pulse and Thrum, and you can find more of his music at pulseandthrum.com. Thanks for listening.